This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Have you ever looked forward to a vacation trip, a concert, or a sporting event that was supposed to be awesome? And then, when it was over, have you ever been disappointed that it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to? That happens. But today we're going to talk about something that God promised the people of Judah. Do we believe that the Lord is always faithful to keep His promises, even if it takes a while? Well, the Lord promised the people of Judah a marvelous future. Yet there was one condition. The people would have to remain faithful to the Lord. Pretty reasonable, right? We're using Haggai chapter 1, verse 14, to Haggai chapter 2, verse 9 today as the teaching passage. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. In the 7th month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Yet once more, in a little while, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. In summary, this passage is aimed at the people of Judah who returned to Judea from Babylon. They were rebuilding the temple, but were a bit distracted, because if we go back a few verses in chapter 1, the Lord was telling them, is it time for you to live in your paneled houses and do all of these things while my house is in ruins? And then the Lord said, do you do all this work? You don't see any results. You put money in your money bags only to have, you know, let the money run out. Your crops are amounting to nothing. And I'll tell you why. It's because you haven't put me first. That's basically the message of Haggai chapter 1. The people were not putting their priorities where they needed to be. Where do our priorities need to be?
In Christ.
Very good. Jesus needs to be number one. He will not accept second place. In Jesus' contest, there's just Jesus. He wants to be on the throne of our hearts, period. No competitors. The last two verses of chapter 1 have the Lord stirring up the spirits of Zerubbabel and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, to get busy rebuilding the temple, the house of the Lord. In sum, they listened to the Lord's message through Haggai and did what the Lord told them to do. This, for the record, is one of the few places in Scripture where God's people actually did what the Lord told them to do. You know, and if you think about how long the Bible is, isn't that kind of sad? That there's one or two passages in throughout the entire Bible where God's people followed the Lord's directions and saw the results that were promised. That's pretty sad if you think about it. God was constantly reaching out to his people. God was constantly calling them, come back to me, come into relationship with me. I will bless you. I will bless your socks off. That's not a quote from Scripture, so don't get excited. But that's what he meant. He said he was going to take care of them. He was going to look after them if they would do one thing. Follow him and do what he said do. We make things so complicated by wanting to go off and do our own thing. And then we wonder why we're not getting blessed like God promised. Well, there's one little provision there. Let's do what God says and we might see different results. Everybody with me so far? Okay, here's the reality. Some of the people were old enough to remember Solomon's temple. Remember, the exile was only 70 years. They were nostalgically looking back on Solomon's temple with sentimental hearts. They remembered how glorious it was. The good old days. Anyone ever been tempted to look back and think, oh, how wonderful it was back when, whatever. If we could just go back to the way things were. For what it's worth, the Chinese people do the same thing. In Chinese folklore, they have what was called the Golden Era. This was the time when it was supposed to be perfect. Everything was right with the world. China was at peace. They were making strides in all of their social advances and exploits and adventures. And I'm not an expert on China by any means, but my missions to China professor seemed to indicate that it was quite legendary. And apparently before the time of Sun Tzu, the dude who wrote the book The Art of War in about 500 BC, this golden era was supposedly back then sometime. And whatever the case, the Chinese still to this day long for this era, saying and lamenting, if we could just get back to this golden era, everything would be fine. Well, sounds a lot like a lot of us, doesn't it? If we could just go back to this time where life was so good. You know, and you see this all the time on the internet with all these internet poster things. They call them memes, I guess. And you see all this, these reminiscences on the Facebook posts where back when I was a kid, I rode in the back of a truck and I didn't have to wear a helmet when I rode my bicycle. And, you know, and we all seem to live, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on and on. We all have a tendency to do that. But there's a problem with that. If we do that in relation to our faith in Christ, that's not good. You say, well, what could be wrong with that, wanting to be faithful? There's a problem here. You're looking back. But God is a God who says, I want to bless you now. I want to see your life prosper. That doesn't necessarily mean money. I want to see your life be blessed now. Stop looking back at how good you think things were. I have something for you now. And that's the reason the Lord sent those words to Haggai by saying, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. Do you know how long ago God was talking about? The people of Israel came out of Egypt around 1400 or 1500 B.C. This is around 500 B.C. when this is taking place. That was 1,000 years before, and God is still saying, I promised you back then that I would bless you if you would follow me. So all you got to do is follow me and do as I command. Walk in relationship with me and you'll see. You will be blessed. Your life will be meaningful. You will have purpose. You will have vision. You will have a sense of security and peace about you. You will live triumphantly. You will be able to withstand the assaults of the adversary. You will be able to stand in that day when things go south. You will be able to stand if you walk with me. If we're walking with Jesus, we'll be able to stand, and it will be because He's the one holding us up. Are you with me? Be strong. He's not telling them to try to do it on their own, you know, flexing those muscles. He's telling them, walk with me. Walk in faith. The faith you have in me will be your strength. You will see results when you walk with me. Be strong. Be gutsy. Be courageous. And this is all according to the promise I made to you guys 1,000 years ago. Stop looking back. I have something I want you to do now. And then I want to take care of what's going to happen tomorrow. But Jesus told us, don't worry about that yet. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Walk with the Lord today, now. Put your faith in Him today, now. And He says He's going to shake the nations so the treasures of the nations will come in. Some people have thought this was a prophecy of Jesus' coming because some of the versions say the desire of all nations, referring to Jesus. And as a matter of fact, one of the Christmas carols we're probably going to be doing here in a little over a month says that about the desire of all nations. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. You know what that means? It all belongs to Him. We don't own any of this. It's only our pridefulness and our greed that gets us to think that we have anything. It all belongs to God. He's just letting us borrow it for a while. We're supposed to take care of it and use it wisely, but it all belongs to Him. And He says, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. What is He promising them? He's saying, basically, if you want to use some slang, He's saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's basically what God is telling them. You haven't seen anything yet. Solomon's temple, cool, awesome, beautiful, majestic. You go back and read some of the stuff from 2 Chronicles about how the Lord's presence filled that temple so strongly and powerfully, the priests couldn't even go in the door. The glory of the Lord was shining in that temple in 2 Chronicles. But God's telling those people, yeah, that was good. But you haven't seen anything yet. What I want to do with you now is greater than that. And we can apply this passage to us sitting here right now today. We can apply this passage to what we're going through, even though things may not look so hot in our own personal lives, in our life of this church, whatever, wherever. The country seems to be in total turmoil, right? But God says, and we can relate this passage to the right here and the right now. God says, don't look back. Don't look back fondly on when you thought everything was so good. Folks, let me tell you something. Sin has been in the world since Adam and Eve took the bait. And that means the world's been messed up for we don't know how many thousands of years. Let's get this straight. There never was any good old days. Because we have always been sinners. We've always been capable of messing up on our own. And in other words, we don't need the devil's help to mess up. We're perfectly capable of doing that ourselves. All he has to do is come alongside and whisper and say, yeah, you think? And then we go, oh, yeah. And then we fall for it. And we go do exactly what the temptation was leading us to do. Folks, we all are susceptible to that. And human beings have been susceptible to that since time immemorial. As long as the first person, Adam and Eve, were walking in the garden and heard the Lord walking around in the cool of the day, then they listened to the snake instead. Big mistake. Dumb mistake. Sin entered the world. God went looking for them. They went and hid, thinking they could actually hide from God. That wasn't too bright either, by the way. God found them, of course. Said, what is this that you've done? Adam says, I didn't do it. The woman made me do it. The woman says, no. It was the snake's fault. Then God punished them all, right? So let's get this straight. Since human beings have been the same for no matter how many thousands of years, and I'm going to repeat it again, there never has been a good old days. That's only in our imagination where we sanitize the memories of the past, filtering out all the crud, remembering all the good stuff, and thinking about how wonderful it was back then. That's what we're doing. And basically, we're fooling ourselves, and we're the only ones who believe that. God is perfectly aware of where we've come from. God is perfectly aware of where He wants to take us. He is perfectly aware of where He wants us to go. And He wants us to trust Him with where He wants us to go, with our future wrapped up in Him so that it's not our future, but His future, walking with Him faithfully, doing what He says do, obeying what He says to do, in covenant relationship, getting deeper in fellowship with Him, knowing Him so personally that we can't be shaken, standing strong because we're walking with Him, and letting Him take us to the future that He has in mind to give to us. Because remember, the Lord said, you haven't seen anything yet. No matter what good has happened to you before, or no matter how you perceive how bad things have been, which is usually also our imagination, it's usually never as bad as we think it is, thank God. He wants to give us a future. Isn't that what He said in Jeremiah 29? I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope in a future. And then you will call out to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you this plan, and it will be really awesome because I have plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope, and then you will call to me, and I will answer you, and I will save you if you come to me. If you come to me, He said, not to Dr. Phil, not to Oprah, especially not to Oprah. That's another story. Not to any radio or TV psychologist or celebrity. They can't do anything for you. They're human too. The last time I checked, all those mugs you see in those magazines on the new supermarket checkout stands, those people are just like the rest of us. Sinners in need of a Savior. And if they're saved, they've been redeemed. But God is the one who can ensure our future. God is the one who has the plan. God is the one who will take us where He wants us to go if we will just put our lives in His hands and trust Him and let Him lead us where He wants us to go. The future is in His hands. And folks, that's the best place for it to be because He's already been there. Because God is timeless. He already knows the future. He's the one who's already got it all mapped out. In other words, God doesn't need a GPS to find where he's going, because he's already everywhere anyway. We don't need anyone else for our help, for our future, except Jesus. Now, he will send people to help us get there. And he'll give us friends. He'll give us companions. He'll give us priests and pastors and advisors. But their words are only so good as long as they are listening and hearing from God themselves. One of the devotions I heard just this past week at school was where the principal of the school read this passage where Jesus says, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they both not fall into the hole or pit?" So only listen to people who are listening to God. And that requires us to listen to God ourselves. Is this making sense? But the way this is going to happen is if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, what does that mean? Well, we get the Holy Spirit when we're converted. When we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on in. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But there are indications in Scripture that say that there are other opportunities and there are other times when we get a subsequent infilling of the Holy Spirit where we are supposed to pursue God in such a way that we are ever filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you say, what does that mean? It means, and let me give you an illustration. Say you have a headache and you ask somebody to bring you something for it. They say, okay, I'm going to bring you a couple of ibuprofen. So you take them, pop them, and your headache goes away. That's cool. But then the person says, well, you have a headache the next day or 2 days later. You say, bring me a couple of something. So they do. I say, okay, here's a couple of ibuprofen again. So you take them, the headache goes away. They say, well, wait a minute, I made a mistake. I gave you acetaminophen instead. So you say, well, I don't care. My headache went away. So in this case, the theological confusion over whether or not it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit makes no difference. The result is the same. But here's the other illustration and part of that. You had a headache 2 days, so you needed the relief 2 days. And in our walk with the Lord, we're going to be in situations where we are going to need that extra power from the Holy Spirit on more than one day, right? Is this making sense to you? We might need His power on more than one instance. That's why the Scripture says, be ever filled. See, the words from John chapter 20, when Jesus breathed on them and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. That word in that verb form there means not just once, but a repeated number of times. So it's a regular occurrence where we need to be receiving the Holy Spirit. Like on more than one occasion, when we have more than one headache, we might need more than two ibuprofen on more than one occasion. Well, in our spiritual lives, we might need more than one infilling or infusion of the Holy Spirit. You read that in the book of Acts, by the way. Peter's speaking, and Luke makes note of the fact, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, didn't Peter get the Holy Spirit in Pentecost? Yes. So what's Luke talking about? He's talking about that next experience where Peter got that extra burst of power from the Holy Spirit. And a few chapters later, Luke says the same thing. And it said, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter was filled and refilled more than once. It's like your car. Don't you need to put gas in your car more than once? You're going to burn off that gas. You're going to need to go back and put that nozzle in the hole for the gas tank and fill your car up a second or third or fourth time. Well, that's how it is with us in our need for the Holy Spirit. The world is a nasty place. It's not fun. There's all kinds of temptations out there. And there are all kinds of times when we're going to need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's the key to that? It's not a mystery. There's no formula. There's no 12-step process. There's no 5-step process. There's no 3-step process. What is it? Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, I believe, or chapter 11, verse 13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more does the Father would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And Jesus then gives us the answer for that. What do we do? Ask. Lord, today I've got this major headache I have to get through. Today I'm going to be stressed out because I've got to do this, 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 and this, and this. I need your Holy Spirit. Give me your Holy Spirit today, Lord. Fill me again and again and again. And that's really all you have to do. It's not magic. You're asking God for something that He's promised to give you. So if you ask Him, what's the key to this? Believe that He heard you, and then believe He answered you. And then just know you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to jump up and shout and yell and scream. Some people do, and that's okay. Some people go about it quietly. They just know. When I was there today, when I was having to give an answer for what happened at school yesterday, and I had this wisdom that I didn't even know I had, there were words coming out of my mouth that I didn't think of, guess what? And it works. That's the Holy Spirit. Because He promised to give you the very words to say on that day when you need them. That's the Spirit's power working in you. It's not a mystery. We put these big barriers up there and get all freaked out over the fact that we think we're going to get weird if we have the Holy Spirit filling us up. Don't worry. We're already weird. So forget it. Just pray and ask God for the Holy Spirit and then believe He's answered you and you're going to be okay. Because He's going to fill us up and He'll answer that prayer if we ask Him. And that's all there is to it. You see how simple all this is? Get filled with the Holy Spirit because you ask. And then you'll be able to do everything the Lord wants you to do. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.